I'm John Batzer with my good colleagues, Hussein Akhali and Bill Raggio. We're speaking of the major feature in the Financial Times, that's the pink paper out of London, about a man named Munir, who's the general in charge, the field marshal in charge of the state within a state in Pakistan, the army. However, in jail is a man named Khan, who was a previous prime minister, and the prime minister now, Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, is important, but not as important as Khan's future, if I read this correctly. Mr. Ambassador, Pakistani politics are a marvel. Khan has been in jail for, I believe, more than a year, maybe 2 years. I lose count. What is the purpose of keeping him in jail? So he can't run for office? So he can't cause trouble to the army? What is the anxiety about him in general? He's an older man. He's world famous. He's a, as far as I can see, he's a rallying cry for a party that's always going to be there. So what is the fear? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think that the calculus of the generals is that the party is not going to be there without Khan, unlike the other two parties which opposed the military at different times and were able to transfer leadership to their within their families. So Shahbaz Sharif's brother was the leader. Shahbaz took over. Benazir Bhutto was the leader. Her husband took over, and now the son is in position. Imran Khan does not have such a succession in mind, and his followers actually are against any dynastic succession. The party also doesn't stand for anything except good governance under Khan, and they believe that he is an honest man, that he is a decent man compared to the others. So therefore, the military's calculation is that they keep him in prison. The party frays. He is the rallying point of the party. He gets old and unable to provide leadership by the time they release him. And we don't know when that is going to be. It is unfortunate, both for Mr. Khan and also for Pakistan, because it's an unfortunate history in Pakistan of putting opposition leaders in prison. But the military does have absolute power, and Khan has not been able to challenge it in the streets sufficiently for it to feel that it is weakened. And he also doesn't negotiate with it, which his followers love, but then they don't seem to have a plan of how to get him released and how to get the military's grip over power loosened.
Does Khan have friends outside of Pakistan in Beijing or Washington or London?
Khan's problem always was that he is very vain and very egotistical, very narcissistic. It has always revolved around him. And philosophically and ideologically, he hasn't taken a position which would find him many partners around the world. So, for example, the United States cannot care much about Khan because Khan was always very anti-American, going back many years. China doesn't care about Khan because they want stability in Pakistan and they don't think he was an instrument of stability. The Arab countries don't particularly care about Khan because he was very critical of their leaders because he has this pan-Islamic vision in which he actually agrees with the Taliban on a number of things and thinks Pakistan should have them as partners. So just as the Taliban are not able to win over many people around the world, neither can Khan. Yes, he was a big cricket player, so he has many admirers. He was once a playboy, so he has many former lovers and their families that care about him in the United Kingdom. And even in the United States, he has overseas Pakistanis rooting for him. But policymakers in most countries don't think much of him.
Bill, just checking on that frontier where the sparks flew weeks ago, is that going to be a regular occurrence? Are we going to get used to this over the years? Every now and again, they fire their artillery?
I think that that's correct. We're going to see flare-ups between the two, because the reality is that the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan is not going to stop conducting attacks against the Pakistani state, Pakistani military. There were just attacks over the weekend where the Pakistani military said that five of its soldiers were killed repelling attacks. They claim they killed 25 TTP or movement of the Taliban and Pakistan fighters. There's only so much that the Pakistanis can tolerate because, of course, the Afghan Taliban is providing shelter and support and running training camps and all of the other things. Remember that this all started after the Pakistanis launched airstrikes in Kabul to kill the head of the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, who the Afghan Taliban denies is there. We know that he was there, that he sheltered there. Right after the fall of the Afghan government in 2021, he came out and said, we're part of the Afghan Taliban. He made these announcements from Kabul. So he's been there in the past. The Pakistani Taliban deny this. I'm sorry, the Afghan Taliban deny this. So, yeah, we're gonna see these flare-ups. Both Pakistan and the Afghan Taliban, they're fine with taking a ceasefire now. But these events will just ultimately boil over. And we've seen these clashes happen in the past, and I suspect they'll happen in the future. But I don't expect them to go to full-scale war, right, because the Afghan Taliban don't want it, and the Pakistanis are always looking at India.
Bill Raggio, Hussein Haqqani.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,